Welcome to Face to Face. Face to Face is an in-depth look at the life and career of a popular sports figure from a Christian perspective. Now, here's your host of Face to Face, Tom Rust.
All right, thank you, and welcome to Face to Face. We're glad to have you with us, and I hope you're doing well during this Christmas season. It is a wonderful time. It's a time when a lot of times sports used to take a break. Sports don't take much of a break anymore. We've got football games on Christmas Day, and, there's nothing that really slows down too much anymore for the holidays. So if you're a football fan, I guess you can enjoy the fact that they're playing NFL games on Christmas Day. But for us, it's a time when we just reflect a little bit and think about what Christmas is all about. And that is, of course, the fact that Jesus Christ came to earth as a babe and lived on this earth for 33 years, went to the cross, rose again, and became our Savior. But still, we think about football, and Jermaine Chaney is our guest today. Jermaine was an outstanding running back at Indiana University back in the day, and then he also had a very brief career in the NFL, but for the most part, Jermaine is known for what he did in college. So we thought that during this Christmas season, it might be good to go back and listen to an interview that we did probably a couple years ago now. Did an interview with Jermaine Chaney of Indiana University. So we'll take a break, and when we come back, you'll hear the interview that we did with Indiana University's Jermaine Chaney. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. All right, thank you very much, and welcome back to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us today. Our guest is Jermaine Chaney, former pro football player, running back, Indiana University. He also played in Canada, played in Europe, and had a short stint with the Indianapolis Colts even. He's now the CEO of Chaney Financial Group. Jermaine, glad to have you with us today on Face to Face.
Oh, it's great to be here. Great to be here.
Let's talk about your football career. You came out of Athens, Georgia, home of the Georgia Bulldogs, but you ended up at Indiana University in 1993. Why did you choose the Hoosiers?
Chose the Hoosiers. Had a great English teacher. Some days she loved me. Some days she wanted to strangle me. And being the youngest of three in my family, my parents never went to college. And my English teacher just helped me formulate a few questions just to ask some of these major universities. And some of those questions included, what was the percentage of athletes that graduate on time? And so that was kind of the secret weapon. Out of the Georgia, the Auburns, the Tennessees, and Clemson, Indiana University was the only one that gave me an answer, and it was about 80%. So go Hoosiers.
Yeah, you played for the legendary Bill Mallory. Quite honestly, since Indiana has not seen Bill Mallory since he's left, they really haven't had the success that you had under that legendary coach. What was he like as a coach?
Well, I guess I wouldn't put him as past tense. You know, he's a guy that
he's still around.
I still keep in contact with, still have an opportunity to go and have breakfast or lunch with him. So for me, you know, the type of guy Coach Mallory is, you know, it got me, I guess it was 562 miles exactly from Georgia to Bloomington. And have no regrets. He's a great guy and also loves the Lord. And I was fortunate as well to be able to run a little track under Sam Bell, which is another great guy as well.
1991 to 1995, you played for Indiana University. 1993, you guys went to the bowl game, one of the last bowls that Indiana has been to. You went to the Poulon Weed Eater Independence Bowl, Shreveport, Louisiana. Even though you lost the game to Virginia Tech, I'm sure that's a memorable time. Tell me what you remember about the Independence Bowl.
Number one, it was hot. And number two, I didn't know you could spray paint rocks and gravel to make it appear to look like grass. It was a great time, and it's interesting how football works. Is, you know, now you're able, you know, over the years was able to play with some of those guys that were on that team at Virginia Tech. Knew nothing about the Hokies, but we knew a lot about the Hokies by the time the game was over.
Yeah, I understand. There was during that game, you guys got off to a good start, and then toward the end, like at halftime, I think you were still pretty much in the game, but second half didn't come around too well.
Thankfully, my memory has escaped me on the game, but thankfully, we just didn't make some adjustments that we needed to make. Yeah.
In 1995, for 2 years, you went to Canada. You went to play for the Ottawa Rough Riders.
Yep.
Was the NFL a choice for you at that time, or was Canada your best option?
NFL was a choice. It was kind of weird. I had two agents. One guy was out of San Francisco, and his other partner was out of Chicago. And it was interesting. You know, I ran track in college, so I really wasn't slow. But some of these places, the Green Bays, the Clevelands of the world, they had me backpedaling. I hadn't backpedaled in years.
Yeah.
And so the opportunity just really came down. I was like, hey, they knew I had speed, and they were just going to either try to reinvent some things for me to be able to do. But, you know, long story short, the Lord had it worked out. I ended up, they were actually trying to get more money from some of these organizations for a signing bonus. And I think I had an opportunity with Seattle. But long story short, you know, the Lord just had it worked out. I signed a contract and then tried to figure out where Ottawa, Canada was.
Yeah, that's pretty far north. That's a
north,
cold country.
North, as they call it. Yeah,
north.
It was interesting, you know, from – you know, finally leaving the boundaries of Georgia and going to Indiana, and then now I go to Ottawa, Canada. Beautiful place. If you've never been, it's probably one of the cleanest cities I've ever seen in my life.
Yeah, you played some teams in the fall months. You get to play in places like Edmonton, Calgary, Montreal,
yes.
Places that are pretty far north. And also you get to play, I don't know what percentage, but they have a certain quota on American players, I believe. And so you end up with a lot of Canadian players.
Yeah.
What's their style of play compared to what you see in America?
Well, I had to learn football all over again. I didn't know what in the world was going on. And I literally had to forget the play count just to be on time, because it's one of those things you got to be moving to the moving up to the line as the quarterback is calling out whatever else. And so it's a different game.
You get a running start, do you not?
Running start, and literally, you know, you got to just forget the play count just to be on time. That was probably the toughest. And then being 12 on 12.
12 on 12, and you also only get 3 downs, right?
3 downs, yeah. So they don't run the ball much.
Yeah.
At all. Those who have been successful, they ran the ball, but we didn't really run the ball that much.
Who was your quarterback? Can you remember that in 1995? That's kind of dragging into your memory a little bit.
Oh, man. I remember the guy. I cannot even think. I know
that's going back too far, most
black
likely.
Quarterback, neat guy.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he had been there really already 15 years.
Yeah.
When I got there.
Now, you continued your playing career 1998, 1999. You went to Europe, played for the Frankfurt Galaxy.
Yeah.
Did they have a tie? Did they have a tie-in with any NFL team, or was it pretty much just whoever wanted to play in Europe?
No, it was actually very interesting, and it was sponsored by the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
So every guy that was there was either allocated by an NFL team, except for myself. I really, truly believe the Lord worked it out again. I had taken a trip back down to Georgia. One of my teammates' mother is still to this day is the secretary for the Falcons. Gave her my highlight tapes and so forth, and told her what I wanted to do. Met a few people at the Falcons organization. One gentleman who used to coach for the Falcons was now coaching over in Europe, and got the tape to him. His name was Bob Lord, and he called me, and he said, hey, we see some things that we like. I'm going to talk to my boss about it. Long story short, I ended up getting drafted in NFL Europe. The thing about professional football, everything is invite only.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Now, what's it like playing in Europe? I know that the NFL is moving that direction. They're even talking about getting a franchise team in London. And, of course, you've played in London and played in all the all the major European capitals. Mm-hmm. But what was the enthusiasm like playing in Frankfurt? Did you have crowds? Did you have what was it like over there?
Oh, it was a blast. And it's interesting now. Since the NFL had sponsored the league and they're now pulling it out. And I'm disappointed in why they pulled it out, because it gave a lot of guys like myself and many others that opportunity to continue to keep playing and at least be able to showcase your talents. But Frankfurt, Germany was, by far the biggest crowds. I played on the Frankfurt Galaxy organization. Home games, 40 to 50,000.
Oh.
I think they treated us like rock stars.
Yeah.
We ended up winning the World Bowl championship there. Coach Curl was our coach. He was the coach of the year for the last 2 years that he was there. And it gave Coach Curl an opportunity. Jake DeLone was one of our other quarterbacks that we had. So it gave many guys that opportunity to continue to keep playing. But home games was 40 to 50,000 fans.
I know in Germany at that time, of course, we had a lot of military bases. Did you see a lot of American military people come to the games, or was it a lot of homegrown Germans?
It was a lot of homegrown Germans, but for 40, 50,000 people, I mean, I'm sure there had to been some Americans in there as well. We've got to establish some great relationship with some of the people in Wiesbaden that was on a military base there. It was a blast.
Our guest is Jermaine Chaney, who played pro football. We've been talking about his career and talking about his life a little bit in Athens, Georgia. We'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll talk further. So don't go away. You're listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Glad to have you with us. Glad to have our guest Jermaine Chaney with us. 1999, you got to the NFL. We're on the Colts roster.
Yep.
That's quite a team. Peyton Manning, Marvin Harrison, Edgerrin James.
Yep.
Tell me a little bit about your experience with the Colts in 1999.
Well, the interesting thing, I'll back up. I call myself a people's choice. So played 2 years in CFL, 2 years in NFL Europe. The first year I went to Europe, we went to the championship, we lost, and then I come back to Indy, and then now I'm working at the Foot Locker in Lafayette Square with a college degree.
Mm-hmm.
And I met a gentleman who really, it was amazing. Never told me what he did, but he just encouraged me. I almost got fired talking to him, because I was talking about 30, 40 minutes.
Yeah.
And long story short, I go back to Europe, win a championship in 1999, and then I get a call from Indianapolis, and I went down to visit my brother in North Carolina. He's in the military, and then come back, and then I'm back in camp. So I had about a week and a half break, and then back into camp. So show up for camp. One of the first guys I met was Peyton Manning. He said, "Hey, I'm welcome to have you." I really didn't know who he was. Being from Georgia, I probably knew more about the Falcons than the Colts.
Yeah.
And super nice guy.
I think he'd been there 1 year.
Right, 1 or 2 years.
Yeah.
And then Marcus Pollyard was another gentleman here that I met. He renamed me. He said I looked like one of his best friends in Alabama named Napoleon. So for him, I was Napoleon. I wasn't arguing with the guy. He's bigger than me. And then Edgerrin came to camp a little later. And, all these guys that I mentioned, have always been supportive, knowing that, I'd already, been to camp once, already played 13, 14 games. And they were like, "Hey, need some help learning plays? We'll help you."
Now, you didn't get a chance to play much for the Colts. Did you get in? I don't think you got into a regular season game. Did you get in any preseason games?
Yeah, some preseason games. One was down in New Orleans and Chicago and Cincinnati. So all those three preseason games. And then up the last preseason game, it hurt my knee.
Yeah.
And then they, thank the Lord, they at least saw enough there that they didn't cut me. They end up putting me on injured reserve.
Yeah. you got out of football, how tough was it? That football was pretty much your life. And what was the transition like coming out of football, coming into, to well, life after football?
Oh, wow. It was, it's no set formula. You know, transitions should start while you're playing. Yeah. You know, you don't wait till the last minute to try to figure things out. It was tough. And, you know, you're in a area of your life that is really hard to relate to. You know, and most of the people that maybe you know that's, you know, quote unquote, have left college and or graduated from college and now they're working, you know, they've either been, you know, having internships, things of that nature for years. And, you know, I was 28 years old, and it really was like I was a, you know, a college kid coming out of college trying to look for a job.
Mm-hmm.
So it was very difficult.
How'd you get into, you're the CEO of Cheney Financial Group. Tell me how you got in, how you got that started.
When I was done, I knew how to spend money. I think we all are aware of that with some of the professional athletes. And I had looked for something that I just really wanted to, number one, learn for myself. And so the insurance financial services was an industry I knew nothing about. I had a great relationship with Chief Norris down in Bloomington. My degree was in criminal justice. And, you know, we took some math courses, but also took some statistic courses as well. And, you know, some of those courses just kind of resonated with me. And but I just picked up the phone and just started calling different financial institutions. Got referred on to One America from one of the gentlemen from my church and worked there through an individual financial planning firm for about 4 years.
I know Jesus Christ is a very important central part of your life. Tell me how Jesus Christ came into your life.
Well, you know, being from the South, you know, we went to church every Sunday. We had a family group, mom, dad, brother, and sister, and so we would go and sing in different churches. But prior to starting our family group, there was a revival, and I remember the pastors talking about going to hell, and I was 7 years old, and it didn't sound cool then. So I got up and made a commitment to trust the Lord then at seven, and then and it was interesting. You know, commitment is great, but you got to have some follow through. So obviously at seven, it could be a little difficult, especially since we kind of look good, smell good. And I don't know whether or not if the Lord was still really present in our family. So long story short, I went on with my life and just still kind of did what I wanted to do. Really just purchased fire insurance from that standpoint. And then March 28, 2003, I got together, well, prior to that, got together with my pastor, Kimber Kaufman, at the time, and just told him, like, man, I just feel like I'm all over the board. And we talked, and we became friends, and he said, have you ever repented? You know, at seven, you know, you're just committing your life to Christ, but, you know, repenting and committing and repenting is a package. And so I said, no, I don't think I ever did. And so, hey, I didn't want to miss any steps. I got down on my knees, asked the Lord to forgive me. And then really the rest is history. Got up and gave my testimony to the church and then really got plugged in.
How does Christ fit into your business, your life now? How do you stay spiritually strong? You have to stay mentally, physically, and all that strong for football. How do you stay spiritually strong now?
Well, I guess I don't try to make Christ fit into anything. I mean, that's kind of already a set. it already takes a set percentage of my business. So I guess I see that a little differently than trying to squeeze it in, you know, because, you know, my walk affects my business, right?
Right.
Not my business affects my walk. So for me, it is just like, you know, in the morning having breakfast, you know, I have to get the word in. I have to prepare myself for today's tasks and being a good husband and a great father with four kids. You know, you got to put your work in, and it starts in the morning.
I know you do a lot of motivational speaking, too, and talking to youth. That's got to be very important to you, particularly with the decisions and the pressures and the stresses that youth have right now. How important is that to you, and how often do you do it?
That's vital. I made a decision to the Lord. I took a mission trip to our church to Budapest, and I remember there I just got so tired of just, you know, talking about Peyton Manning, Marvin, and so forth, and people always try to redirect you on what you used to do. And, you know, I was like, man, I'm going to go to Budapest, and I'm going to try to blend in. That's impossible. And the Lord kind of quickly convicted me and said, you know, the platform that I've already given you, you know, it's not for you to disassemble. And so if talking about guys who you played with that will help impact the kingdom, then, you know, you need to do what I ask you to do. So from then on, if I'm ever asked to speak to, you know, I did the keynote speaker for a homeschool graduation here in the summer, which was pretty nice. You know, I hadn't really turned anything down. If I'm asked, then I'm going to do what the Lord told me to do. Hey, then you'll show up and you'll speak.
Jermaine, thanks for being a super role model. Thanks for your career. Thanks for sharing with us. We've kind of come to the end of our time. Give us, if you would, what is an important scripture verse that means a lot to you here as we close our interview time.
Yeah, you know, over the years, there's been many scriptures that's been impactful for me. And I even remember one of the coaches who coached me, and I say from Afro to No Afro, John Ward. His mother had given me a little keychain, and it talked about, you know, you may run and not grow weary. And for a while, that was really, and I'm drawing a blank on where specifically that scripture was, but that was something I just kind of held dear to me. But as I've kind of grown, one of the scriptures is Luke 9:23, which is Jesus actually speaking to the disciples in terms of what they need to do, you know. And he talks about, if anyone wishes to come after me, let him first deny himself, pick up his cross, and follow me daily, which is Luke 9:23. And that's been a great scripture just for myself and also for my family. This is a daily battle, right? This is not something I did, you know, 10 years ago. This is something I need to work on daily. And so it's been a great scripture for myself and my family.
Jermaine, thanks for being with us. Good luck. I hope we can get together again sometime, and thank you for all that you do.
Fantastic. Thank you.
All right. Jermaine Chaney, former pro football player, now the CEO of the Chaney Financial Group. We'll take a break and be back. You are listening to Face to Face. Welcome back to Face to Face. Hope you are doing well. Hope you'll join us next week, too, when we're going to, during this Christmas season, take a little time off, and we're going to replay our 25th anniversary show. I hope that you'll like that. That's a show that we did back in September when we celebrated our 25th year on the air, and there have been over 1,200 face-to-face shows since we started in 1992, and it certainly has been a wonderful time, and we've had a number of different athletes on the air. We don't have 25 years worth of athletes up on our website, but we do have a lot, and hope you'll have a chance, if you haven't been there already, to take a look at facetofaceradio.com. If you just plug that into your device, whether it be your PC or your mobile device or whatever it is, you'll see the webpage that we have at facetofaceradio.com and see some of the interviews that we have done in the past, including this one. And there's also a spot there where you can make a year-end donation. And we hope that if you're listening to this before December 31st, that you can click on and send a donation to help keep Face-to-Face on the air. We know that a lot of people are encouraged by what they hear coming from the sports world about Jesus Christ. There are a lot of Christian athletes out there, and with the exception of a few spots like ours, you don't hear much about it. You hear more about the negative, and we're here to bring you the positive. So again, it's facetofaceradio.com. We hope that you'll check it out. Well, here at the Christmas season, we want to give you a verse from Matthew chapter 2, verses 10 and 11. And this has to do with the wise men, and it says, when they saw the star, They rejoiced with exceedingly great joy, and when they had come into the house, they saw the young child with Mary, his mother, and fell down and worshiped him. And those, of course, referring to the wise men. Well, hey, that's about it for us this week. We hope that you'll be back with us next week when, as I said, we'll have our 25th anniversary show. And at that time, you can reminisce with us a little as we look back on some of the exciting and inspirational moments that we've had in doing face-to-face for the last 25 years. That's about it for us. We look forward to having you back next week. We'll have another Christian athlete. Till then, this is Tom Russ saying, remember this, no matter where you go, no matter what you do, be a good sport. Bye.
You've been listening to Face to Face with Tom Rust. For a free copy of today's program or for more information, please write to Face to Face Ministries, P.O. Box 125, Columbus, Indiana 47202. You can also find us on the web at facetofaceradio.com. Join us again next week as Tom Rust goes face to face.